What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Inside the Five. It's Griff.
Stop.
And it's Will.
And on this episode, we have another football-specific episode, but we're going to be throwing in some college football in there as well. We have our top games for this weekend for the collegiate football slate. Then we will be moving into all games, predicting each spread, as well as giving you guys our locks of the week for the NFL. With that being said, Stav, what do we say?
Packed episode. We're taking it a step further than we usually do on our Thursday episode. I'm excited. Let's do it.
All right, everybody. We broke down some college football games over this last weekend on our last episode. And like we said, we will be giving you some games to look out for this weekend. We're going to get things started off here hot with the game of the week at noontime on Saturday, the Red River rivalry between the Oklahoma Sooners and the Texas Longhorns. Texas favored in this game by 6 points, obviously coming into this game as a college football playoff candidate. I'd say a collegiate powerhouse this year. They're the 3 seed, 5-0, both teams going into this matchup. And I mean, this is by far the game of the weekend. You got two exciting offenses, two teams that really haven't played anybody crazy other than Texas's win against Bama. This is going to be a showdown, and this is going to be a big test for Oklahoma's defense. I'm going to get things started here. Texas favored by 6 points. I'm going to go with them. I'm going to stick with the Longhorns. I think that this is the best year that they've had in recent memory. And this is going to be a staple win on their road to the college football playoff. I have them ending up there. I don't know if they lose another game this year. This is one of their bigger tests. It's going to be a fantastic game. Stav, what do you have here?
Well, self-explanatory. I'm riding with Texas. I feel like this is their most complete team that they've had in recent memory. Starting at the quarterback position with Quinn Ewers, there was a lot of pressure on him going into this season because the expectations for him last year were sky high. He had that great half against Alabama, and then he got hurt, and he wasn't really the same. Now coming back into this year, he's been phenomenal. This Texas team has been phenomenal, starting with the big boys up front. Their offensive and defensive line have set the tones for games throughout the season, and I think it's going to be too much for this Oklahoma team to handle. I think Texas is going to control the game. They're going to have a majority of time of possession. They're going to establish the run. They're just too physical, in my opinion, for Oklahoma to match. I have Texas covering the spread. I have them winning probably by 3 touchdowns.
Yep. Will?
I'm also going with Texas. I talked highly about them last episode. I think they're a very great team. Hook 'em horns.
So there we go. We got a full Texas there, an earthquake. So might get a little nerve-wracking here on noon on Saturday. But we're going to kick it to the next game. We have another ranked matchup between two SEC teams. Number 20, Kentucky, taking on the number 1 seeded Georgia Bulldogs at Georgia. We talked a little bit about this Georgia program on the last episode. We talked about how good that tight end is there and some of the struggles that we've been seeing from that quarterback, what we like, what we don't like about this team. Will, I'll get you started off here. Georgia favored by 14.5 points against another ranked opponent. What do you like here?
I like the play for me is Kentucky plus 14.5. I like them to cover here. Georgia's been in a lot of close games throughout the start of the season, and I think Kentucky is out there ready to hold them off a little bit, and they're going to be able to cover that spread.
Awesome stuff.
I'm with Will here. I have Kentucky. Based on what we saw last week out of Georgia, they haven't really been convincing. It's not even just last week. It's been in the few weeks prior. They have not been convincing against not weaker opponents, but against opponents that they should be beating and covering the spread against. Last week, it was a very close game and a scare against Auburn, who isn't as good as Kentucky. And Kentucky being led at the helm by quarterback Devin Leary, who's thrown for over 1,000 yards. He's thrown for 10 touchdowns. He has some interception trouble, but I trust him, and I trust Ray Davis to get the ball rock rolling on the ground. He has 8 touchdowns rushing on the year, an explosive back. And the key for Kentucky to win this game, you have to take care of the football. Bottom line, you're not going to beat Georgia, especially on the road, if you can't take care of the football. And I trust this Kentucky backfield to do it. And I have Kentucky covering the spread 14.5.
All right, I'm gonna fade you guys here. Last week, Kentucky played against Florida. I had Florida spread, and a name that you mentioned, Stav, a guy like Ray Davis can break a whole game, can break a whole team season, and we saw it with Florida. I'm not too confident in them the rest of the way forward. Georgia, after only really squeaking away against Auburn, only winning by 7, they won the game for sure. They need to come out and they need to show us that they're the number one seed. I think that if they don't cover the spread in this game, they're not the number one seed going into next week. So I'm going to have them winning this game, covering the spread, winning by 3 touchdowns. I think that this is a huge game for the Georgia defense to see a guy like Ray Davis, and as well as who's that backup over there? Oh, I should be a little bit more. Yes, it's him. He had a good game against Florida too. Tough runner. It'll be a good game to test that Georgia run defense that's been good for years on. This is a big game for them, and Georgia is, you know, the team to beat in college football. They're going for a 3rd in a row. And I don't see Kentucky really stepping in their way this season, not on, you know, the historic track that they've been on. I just can't see the Wildcats getting the job done, especially at Georgia. We're going to move on to another game. How about a team that's not in a Power 5 conference, Stav, if we want to make another independent joke? The 10-seeded Notre Dame Fighting Irish going up against Louisville, who – for the first time since Malik Cunningham 2 years ago?
Oh, no.
Is ranked again?
Yeah. You're probably right. I think it was. Yeah.
Because Malik Cunningham got hurt last year. I think he might have been hurt the year before. No, it might be for the first time in 3 years. Louisville is ranked. Tough that they have to go up against someone like a Notre Dame this week, especially we talked about their game against Duke last week. Winning that game in a close one, a good win for them. They have Louisville this week, and then they have USC next week, Notre Dame does. So this is a very, very big 3-week, 4-week span, even with their loss to Ohio State before Duke. They're favored by 6.5 at Louisville. I think they get the job done. I think that with such a difficult patch in their schedule, this game is almost a layup for them. They had Ohio State, a great test against a great receiving core. They had Duke, a great test against a fantastic quarterback and a quarterback that can move. And now you're going up against the Louisville team, who's a bit of a step back, but nothing you should take lightly with what they can do on the ground. I have Notre Dame covering this. I think they score a ton of points. I think that this is a big Sam Hartman game. This is one of those games that Sam Hartman – tries to go off to kind of try to push his Heisman case. That's the way that I'm seeing it. 6.5 points, I don't think is enough. Almost a scary line for me. I'm still going to take it. Notre Dame -6.5. Pap, you with me?
I'm with you. I'm pretty much there for the exact same reasons. Taking a look at, obviously, the games that Notre Dame played the past couple weeks, I definitely do think Louisville's a step down, especially with the teams that Louisville's been playing. I don't think they'd necessarily be ready for a team like Notre Dame. For those reasons, I think I'm going to take them -6.5 this week.
Yeah, this is an earthquake. I just think that Sam Hartman and Notre Dame is too much for Louisville to really take care of. It was a little bit of a scare last week with Notre Dame and Duke of covering the spread, but that game was really never in doubt. We're talking about who's just going to win. And I think that Notre Dame has gotten better every single week. And they're going through, I don't want to say a gauntlet, but they've gone up against pretty good talent. And especially over the last 3 weeks, that's 3 straight ranked opponents that they're going to be facing. And I think this is a perfect opportunity for them to end the gauntlet with a convincing win versus Louisville and climb further into the top 10.
I love it. I love it. So those are our 3 biggest games of this weekend. We got a few more notable mentions that I want to throw in there. We'll talk a little SEC with LSU facing off against Missouri. The only other ranked versus ranked matchup this week, 23 versus 21. LSU going into this game ranked behind Missouri. Not at home, going to Memorial Stadium. They're favored by 4 points in this game. And Will's favorite thing on earth, ESPN matchup predictor, has LSU at a 70% chance to win this game. When there is a line like this, you have to take LSU. I have LSU this week. This is going to be a good matchup. I think it's going to be a high-scoring matchup. The over-under is set at 65. And Stav, you talked about Malik Nabers on the last episode. It's going to be great to see what he does on the field. And then on the opposite side of the ball, Luther Bird in the third has been putting up very similar numbers to Malik Nabers. He's been very exciting to watch for that Missouri offense. And it's going to be in the air a lot in this game. It's going to be fun to watch. Another game to look out for, Alabama needs a big win at Texas A&M to keep their season alive. They're favored by 1 point in this game. This is a 50-50. I want to know, Stav, what would you take in this game?
I love Texas A&M. I feel like this matchup, whenever they go down to College Station, is always in favor of Texas A&M. What was it? The last time these two faced off? No, I'm sorry. They didn't upset them last year, did they? They did upset them last year.
I think they did, right?
They did upset them
last year. Because Bama lost to them and they lost to Tennessee.
Yes. So that I can I totally see Texas A&M winning this game. I think that Alabama is making the right steps in the they're going in the right direction when it comes to not necessarily a rebuild, but rebuilding their program from having three first-round quarterbacks, essentially four, in your program. And now you've got a guy who's probably not going to get drafted, who's a running first quarterback. It's a rebuild year. This isn't a bad loss for Alabama. It's just kind of a step back for what we're used to. I have Texas A&M winning this game.
Yeah, and they're a bit their ranking, you could argue, isn't really what they are right now. They're finding their identity, though, as the season goes on, and making that move to keep Milrow at quarterback, I think, was the best move for the program. I don't think anybody else, any other of those quarterbacks that are on scholarship at Bama, are ready to play football. And it's just tough. You don't have a guy like Tua, you know. You don't have a guy like Mac Jones that can throw the ball to five guys that are about to be wide receiver ones on five of their respective teams that they get drafted to. And it's not saying that there's not round one talent on that Alabama team. But I mean, that's just the way that college football is right now. And we talked about the SEC. We talked about the Pac-12, on the last episode. And I want to bring up this game as well, because we've kind of seen the power of the SEC the past few years, and we're starting to see a conference put up a fight with them in a season, saying, hey, we have teams. We're not top heavy. We have a lot of teams that can go out and win some big games. And USC is going to be the Pac-12 at night game. I think there's one more game. Washington might be playing at 10 p.m. as well. But USC is going up against Arizona at 10:30. Arizona, who lost last week to Washington, put up a great fight against them. We know what USC did last week against Colorado. It's going to be a fantastic game. USC favored by 21 points. I actually like Arizona spread in that game. I just like how Arizona can control the game, or at least I like how they did it last week, because what they did against Washington was perfect. And in my opinion, USC, Washington, Utah, those are the three of the top dogs in the SEC. So if you can put up a fight against Washington, I think that it's going to be pretty similar against USC. I think that this is going to be a lot better of a game than people think it is. And if it's not, and it's a blowout, then guess what? Nobody gives a shit, because USC was favored by 21.5. So with that being said, I just had a take that doesn't matter at all. Let's kick it over to Stav for the NFL.
All right, boys, we're talking about big boy football here now. Time to talk about the NFL. It's week 5. Week 5. That's crazy to me. We're getting things kicked off right away with tonight's game, the night of this recording. We have Thursday night football. We have essentially a toilet. Although the Washington Commanders are considered record-wise pretty good, they put up a fight last week against Philadelphia. What are they sitting at? 3 and or 2-2. They're sitting at 2-2 right now after the last two losses. They're home against the Bears. I have the Commanders when covering the spread at 6 points. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I just think that the defensive line of the Commanders is way too much for this Bears team to handle. Will, talk to me through this game. What do you got?
I'm also going Commanders minus 6 tonight. The Bears only have 2 sacks through the first 4 games of this year, so their defense is not doing too well. And I think this is a good opportunity for Sam Howell to really kind of show some flashes and do his thing, especially against his really poor Bears team. I like him to do a good amount tonight, and I like Terry McLaurin to score tonight.
We all got the Commanders here. The Bears are historically bad. I have a few things. Brian Robinson over touches or carries, excuse me. Brian Robinson over yards. Curtis Samuel over yards and Brian Robinson to get in the end zone. I have a lot on this game, and it's all going to hit.
I have Jahan Dotson to get in the end zone.
I like that.
Love it.
I haven't really – I'm going to take the Commanders minus 6, but I'm thinking about taking a minus 3.5 first half. All right. Next, we're going to Sunday slate. We're getting things kicked off across the pond. The Jacksonville Jaguars are home versus the Buffalo Bills. This spread kind of surprised me at being 5.5. I figured it'd be a lot closer. It's 5.5 in favor of the Bills. Will, talk me through what you have in this game, because you're a little different from what Griff and I have.
I'm taking the Jags plus 5.5. The Jags stayed in London again this week. They only had to move hotels not too far away. The Jags are vets out there. The Bills haven't played in London since 2015. Von Miller is coming back. First game in London to start the season. I don't love that for their defense. I don't love that for him either. So I'm going to take the Jags here plus 5.5.
I'm going to fade you. The Jags stayed in London. So everything is pointing to the Jags winning this game, right? But the Bills are coming off one of the biggest wins of their season. And I think that this perfectly like levels out these two teams, right? Where we're going to see the true authentic Buffalo Bills against the true authentic Jacksonville Jaguars in their versions of themselves for this season. In my opinion, truly be shown in this game. And I think the Buffalo Bills are a better football team by 10 points. So I'm going to take the Bills minus 5.5. I'd even maybe think about taking them at an alternate spread, giving me more than a touchdown. I like the Bills a lot in this game for some reason. And I'm not out on the Jags, but I think that this is the perfect time for the Bills to swoop in, go to 4-1, and give up all that hype. Oh, they're going to go to the Super Bowl, and then they're the Bills, you know?
Yeah, Griff, I'm right there with you. I have the Bills covering 5.5. I still was surprised about the spread. I figured it'd be more like 3.5, 2.5 maybe in favor of Buffalo. But when the spread is this big between two pretty good teams, I feel like I always lean towards the favorite, especially considering Jacksonville's defense in the second half didn't look as sharp as they did in the first half against Atlanta. And that's we're talking about Atlanta. We're not talking about the Buffalo Bills that put up 50 points last week pretty much against the Miami Dolphins and embarrassed them. So I have the Bills minus 5.5, back-to-back wins versus Florida teams. All right, next, we're going back to the normal 1 o'clock slate on Sunday. We have the Texans at the Falcons. The Falcons are favored by 2 here. This is another shocking line. Griff, talk to me here.
The Falcons are favored by 2 for a number of reasons. First off, this is going to be a game that is won in the air. And people don't believe that. People think that this is going to be a big game for Bijan Robinson. I actually think Houston's defense matches up pretty well against the run offense of Atlanta. When it's time for Atlanta to put the ball in the air, they look like they've never seen football played after the year 1940. It's truly like, this is some of the worst fucking football I've ever seen in the NFL in my life. When I watch Desmond Ridder do a 5-step drop after a play action, that's just not how quarterbacks are supposed to work. He doesn't know how to play the position. Jonnu Smith is their leading receiver this year. I think that says enough about this game. Another weird line where it's Atlanta's favorite. I kind of want to almost take them, But I also think that they're favored strictly because they're the home team. I'm going to go with Houston in this game. C.J. Stroud had a fantastic week last week. Damian Pierce hasn't gotten off to the best start to the season, but they've been doing their thing in the air. Like I said, I hate Atlanta's offense. The over-under set at 41.5. I'm actually going to take the over in this game as much as I hate the offense. I think Stroud puts up a lot of points, and the Texans cover the spread, win the game, and put up maybe 4 or 5 touchdowns in this game. I think that this is a big game for Stroud, Will.
I'm right there with you. The Falcons have been atrocious all year long. It's been awful football to watch. Besides Bijan, Bijan's been really good. I have to give him his credit there. But that entire team is fucking trash. I'm taking the Texans +2. The Texans looked great last week. Stroud looked amazing. I think they go out there and they score a bunch of points. The Falcons, I like the Texans defense too. Like you said, I think they're pretty solid as well. They're honestly a solid team. They're kind of surpassing a little bit of the expectations that we kind of all put on them at the beginning of the year. They're playing well for who we thought they would be. I think they go out there and get the job way well done over the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I mean, I'm a big fan of C.J. Stroud. He's kind of won my trust. And this Texans defense is pretty good against the run. They're not bad. They handle their own. I have them winning outright. So that obviously that means I'm covering the spread. All right, next game. We got the Carolina Panthers traveling to Detroit to face the Lions. Lions are favored by 10 here. This is another earthquake. I feel like we can just kind of go quickly through this one. Lions minus 10. That's a lock. Stay tuned. All right. AFC South matchup. Tennessee Titans at the Indianapolis Colts. Another earthquake here. We have the Colts +2. I'm a big Anthony Richardson guy. I've been a big fan of him all throughout. Anybody else have a different take on this game?
Is Jonathan Taylor, back?
He's practicing. Really? He's under the impression that he's going to play throughout the rest of the season and then start up the contract negotiations again in the summer.
Okay. This is an all-time I look stupid move by Jonathan Taylor, because I was one of the guys that was not in on Anthony Richardson going into the draft. And I'm not going to lie, he's impressed me so far. And I bet Jonathan Taylor's in the same boat. He wanted to play for and with a quarterback that's going to go out there and get the job done. Jonathan Taylor's so young. It's not like you should be in win now mode. It's not like, oh, I need to get a ring within the next year. Like, calm down. But with Jonathan Taylor back, let's say he doesn't play this. So I'm going to guess that he doesn't play this week. I still love Indianapolis in this game. Tennessee is a dumpster fire. And I would fire Vrabel. I don't think Tennessee would, and I don't think Vrabel's on the hot seat. I'm not saying that he's going to get fired. I'm saying that if I own the Tennessee Titans, it would be time to make a move.
I think the GM should get fired.
I think it should clear house.
Maybe the GM. You know, I think the GM before the coach. I think the GM before the coach. I think everybody should get fired.
Just clear house.
And they should move.
All right. Nothing else. Let's move on to a different game. We have the New York Football Giants traveling to Miami to face the Dolphins. Dolphins minus 11. Another earthquake. That's 4 in a row. I feel like this is also self-explanatory. The Giants have so many fucking problems. Evan Neal, what an idiot. I don't know if you guys saw that clip. He basically called out the fans. He's like, what do they know? They're just like flipping burgers and hot dogs. Dude, you're on that trajectory. You're going to be flipping hot dogs and burgers with us in like 3 years. You were the sole reason why Daniel Jones threw like 2 interceptions, because you couldn't block anybody. What a waste of a first-round talent. And if you guys want to listen to a funny rant, go listen to I forgot the guy's name. It's all over Twitter, New York, on a New York radio show. He probably goes on a 5-minute rant about how Evan Neal is cooked and that they should cut him, and it's really funny. All right, next game. New Orleans Saints travel up to Foxborough. Look at the lighthouse and face the New England Patriots, the first not earthquake that we have. After my rant on Tuesday, you figured I would probably be on your guys' side here, but I have the Patriots here, and I'll tell you why. this is a game that they win. A really shitty game. Like 16-13, 16-15 maybe. And like the fans think that they're back, but they're not. I'm not saying they're back. I just think that this is just a weird win for them. And especially that the fact that they haven't even won a game at home yet just makes me think that they're going to win. So I have the Patriots minus one here. Even though actually the scores that one of the scores I said didn't cover the spread, but I have the Patriots covering the spread in a really shitty game.
Okay. I have the under in this game. Absolutely. I have Alvin Kamara getting in the end zone this game. And I have the Saints plus one, pretty much a pick 'em. I've been on the Saints all year, so these are the guys I have to ride with. And Derek Carr, this whole injury thing, I'm not really enjoying. I think that if Derek Carr isn't 100% healthy, I think 100% Jameis Winston is better than an 80% Derek Carr. That's just my opinion, and I think that they'd be in a better situation if they just let Jameis play the next 2 weeks. With Jameis, I like the Saints. With Derek Carr, I'm not the biggest fan for this week, but I'm still going to take him in this game.
Looking at this game, I was trying to convince myself to take the Pats here. Basically, a pick 'em. I picked the Saints. I also, in my head, I was like, if the Pats win this game, everyone's going to think they're back, and like they're not. I also think there's just too much going on with the organization, with injuries, and like everything in the news just about Mac Jones, like people believing in him, and then like he just doesn't show up. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm just going to take the Saints plus one. I feel like that's a safe pick.
We haven't talked about J.C. Jackson returning back to the Patriots. That happened after our episode on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. He's going to get an interception this week. He totally is. And did you guys see that thing? His warrant for his arrest got dropped when the Patriots traded for him.
Yeah, I mean, didn't he get arrested in Massachusetts?
Yeah, it was a Massachusetts warrant, but then when he got traded back to the Patriots, the whole warrant got dropped.
Well, yeah, Robert Kraft runs the whole region.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. All right, next game we have a rivalry, an AFC North rivalry.
Love it.
Baltimore Ravens facing the Pittsburgh Steelers, traveling to Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett's probably going to play. Ravens minus four. Earthquake.
I have two things to say. I have the Ravens winning the AFC North, and I think that the Ravens win this game by double digits. That's all I have for this game.
I like that a lot. I have that in my little notes that the Ravens are going to win the AFC North.
All right. I like that. Next game. This is kind of a snooze fest as of right now. Between the Cincinnati Bengals going to Arizona to face the Cardinals. Bengals are 3-point favorites. If this game happened week one, the Bengals would probably be 15-point favorites. But
yeah,
not week one. It's now week five. Can the Bengals finally like put together a good win with that shitty offensive line? Arizona's defense is pretty good. Will, you don't think that this is the game that's going to happen?
I'm picking the Cardinals plus three for a numerous amount of reasons. I don't believe T. Higgins is playing. I also think them talking about this game being must-win, which it is, I think it's just too much for the way this team is playing. I feel like that just created a lot of unnecessary pressure when they need to kind of take it a little bit later and kind of go back to the way they were playing last year and take it a little bit easier and figure it out, especially against a Cardinals team where they don't really have much to lose this year and they're kind of playing above expectations that we all thought they were going to do this year. So I think it's one of those games where the Cardinals kind of squeak it out.
I am going with the Bengals. I actually love the Cardinals in this game, but I just traded. First off, I want to preface this statement. That's the right terminology. By saying nobody gives a fuck about my fantasy team. But in my dynasty league this morning, I made a blockbuster trade. Joe Burrow is no longer a part of my dynasty team. So that means that they're going to win the game and Joe Burrow is going to have the best game that he's had all year. I have Ja'Marr Chase getting in the end zone. I have Joe Mixon getting in the end zone. The over-under set at 44.5. I have the over. I think that there's a lot of points scored in this game, and I don't think that there's going to be a lot of defense in this game. Bengals cover the spread.
Yeah, I think that they cover. I think they win by like seven.
Yeah.
it's just not really a convincing win. All right, next, we have the Philadelphia Eagles. What? This is another earthquake. This is kind of surprising. Traveling to L.A. to face the Rams. Griff, get us started on who we picked for this earthquake.
We all have the Rams. The reason why I picked this game the way that I did was strictly because of the number that I saw for the spread. The Eagles favored by 4.5 almost doesn't make sense to me. It makes me feel like there's something that they know, aka the bookmakers, that we don't. 4.5, I think that the Eagles should be favored by 6.5. So with that being said, I'm going to take the Rams. I think that the Rams outright win this football game. I think that it's going to be a very, very high scoring game. Once again, like I said about the game prior, how about some props? Let's go with Matthew Stafford over 1.5 touchdowns. This is going to be a parlay, by the way. So Matthew Stafford over 1.5 touchdowns, Kyren Williams to get into the end zone, DeAndre Swift to get into the end zone, and Puka Nacua over receiving yards. There's a lot in there. Very good odds. The over-under set at 50. I also have the over, but I'm going to be taking the Rams. Fuck it, money line. Rams money line in this game.
I mean, I kind of just convinced myself out of taking the Eagles here. I've been kind of on the fence about this game all day long. The spread really was kind of confusing to me. But also, I feel like this is one of those games that the Eagles just lose, especially after the Commanders game last weekend. Granted, they won that game, but something just felt off about the Eagles, and I'm not sure like what exactly it was. Just something just doesn't seem right. And I feel like this is a game where the Rams are going to go out there and just air the fuck out of the ball and just score a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper Kupp's back, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Did we say that? Yeah.
I think he was limited in practice today, so it's not 100%.
Yeah, but he could be back, and that kind of factored into my decision. I don't want to slight the Philadelphia Eagles. I just think that the Rams are kind of due to have one of those weird statement wins for them, where we don't count out the Rams. Like, oh, don't count out the Rams. I feel like that's kind of this week, and they cover 4.5 as underdogs at home. All right, next we have the New York Football Jets at the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are favored by 1.5. Zach Wilson is still the starting quarterback, coming off of his best career game. The first time ever that a quarterback has really outperformed Patrick Mahomes in every single important stat. A lot of beef between these teams. Sean Payton called out Nathaniel Hackett. This game kind of crept up on us. I thought it was later in the season. Guess I'm wrong. I have the Jets here. I think that the Broncos are dysfunctional. I think that they cannot handle the pressure of outside noise right now, because this is probably the first time the Broncos have really been in the news as a headline before the game. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, shit, this is like a rivalry game now. And you have to prepare these guys to compete against the New York Jets, who have a very good defense. Zach Wilson might be getting a little more confident in himself, which is a little bit dangerous. So I have the Jets here. I have a money line. I have them probably winning this game by 7 to 15. No, I'm going to put it at 10 to 14 points. That's where I have it at.
Okay. Love it. Will?
I'm also riding there with you, Stav. I got the Jets plus 1.5. Both teams are kind of iffy. I think the Broncos just are really, really bad. They don't look good at all. Zach Wilson with a little bit of confidence boost against the Chiefs. I feel like that gives them a little bit of an edge there, especially their defense looked really, really good. I think they get the job done.
All right. A lot of earthquakes on this episode, but not here. I'm going to take the Broncos in this game. Zach Wilson had too good of a game last week. It's just not going to happen again. If this game wasn't a game where a team was favored by 0.5, I would say push. I think that this game is going to be the worst game of the weekend, and I don't think that I give a shit if I'm right or wrong about the spread of this game, because it will not be on my version of Scott Hansen's box. So I want to move on to the next game. Fuck the Broncos. Fuck Russell Wilson. Geno for life.
All right, next game on the slate, we have the Kansas City Chiefs going to Minnesota to face the Vikings. Chiefs are 4-point road favorites. Will, you broke up the earthquake here. Talk us through your pick.
So I can understand where you're coming from with the Vikings plus four, but the Chiefs are, I believe, the last team to go into the Vikings home stadium, as every team has now made it there. Also, Mahomes needs to win this game or to have beaten all 31 other NFL teams. I think he gets that done, so I'm taking the Chiefs minus four.
Okay. I actually didn't know about that stat. I'm going to go with Minnesota in this game. Minnesota is due for a win, and they're due for a big win. I'm trying to talk like I'm from Minnesota. I'll be honest. The theme of the week for my picks was to dumb it down. And I have a speech for my lock of the week after. You guys have heard the speech before, but I have my own version of it. I just needed to dumb it down this week. Just look at the numbers and really be like, why are those numbers there? Four. The Chiefs are favored by four to the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going to take the Vikings in this game. Stav, you probably have a better reasoning.
Yeah, I think that the Vikings really just needed to, like, you know how in basketball when a team starts off the game cold, you just need to take the lid off of the basket. And that's what I think that they did last week with their first win against Carolina. Going back home, this is a big opportunity for them to kind of get back into the mix. Then instead of sitting at 1-4, you can be sitting at 2-3, which is a lot easier to come back from. And I don't think that Kansas City is really confident in themselves right now. I think that we're seeing a lot of what Eric Bieniemy had to do with this offense last year. Mahomes didn't look like himself last week, especially. He looked like he was seeing ghosts. And to be honest, they should have lost that game to the Jets. And I think karma's real. And I think that the Minnesota Vikings offensively are too good for the Chiefs to keep up with right now. I'm not saying the Chiefs aren't going to figure it out. But let's be real, this Kansas City Chiefs offense hasn't looked good other than the game against the Bears. So I have Minnesota minus four. Or I'm sorry, Minnesota plus four at home as the home underdogs. Sunday night football. This is gonna be a great game. I'm actually very excited for this game, and I'm changing my pick right now because I want it to be different and fun. And I'll get it started. I have the Dallas Cowboys. I have the Dallas Cowboys covering 3.5 on the road. I think that this game, the NFL needs this to be a good game. We haven't really, last Sunday night was good, but the ending was kind of mid. And other than that, we haven't really seen a great Sunday night game. So Dallas Cowboys on the road, plus 3.5. I think we finally see them score a touchdown in the red zone. I think that we see CMC get in the end zone. I think that's just going to be a lot of points.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a shootout. And I think Debo is questionable, which hurts. So is Micah Parsons. But I think they both play. This is an NFL championship preview.
Yeah. And these are the two best teams in the NFC, straight up. And we're going to watch them go head-to-head on Sunday. And I don't think that this is going to be, you know, what decides which team is better at the end of the season. I don't think that this game will have much to say for that. But I'm going to take the 49ers in this game. I think that that defense is too good for Dak Prescott and too good to go up against. If you're just a football purist, to be able to watch Micah Parsons dissect the offensive line of San Fran this weekend and to see what he does this weekend is going to be really interesting and really intriguing, because we've talked about Micah Parsons a lot recently and about how he has the potential to do and put up some numbers that we've never seen before. So to go up against especially a Hall of Fame left tackle and a fantastic schemed offense, I'm interested to see what Micah Parsons is going to be doing off the edge this weekend. I'm still going to take the over in this game. I love the way that San Fran's playmakers match up against those defensive playmakers for the Cowboys, especially with Stephon Diggs out. In this game, if this game is everything that we want it to be and we hope it to be, this could easily be one of the best games of the season.
I'm taking 49ers spread. My main reasoning is Dak Prescott. I think this game might be a little too big for him to handle. This is the real first test for the Cowboys this year, given all of their hype. Both great teams, both great defenses, but Dak Prescott living in that primetime moment hasn't really been all of that. He still struggles a little bit, and he hasn't looked great, but he's been better than what I've thought. I still think it's too big of a moment at this point in time. I still don't think he prevails. I'm going the 49ers.
All right. Monday Night Football. We're going to wrap up the week with the Green Bay Packers. I feel like the Green Bay Packers are always like one-point favorites. They're always in one-point spread games because you don't really know how they'll play. Whatever. Going to Vegas to face the Raiders. Is Jimmy G playing? I think so. I think he is playing.
I think it's still questionable.
Yeah, I bet he plays. I really don't think that matters. I love the Packers. We have an earthquake here. Packers, yeah. Jordan Love. I think I'm a Jordan Love stan now.
Yeah, yeah. That's your guy.
I think I've talked about him more than any other quarterback. No, I would say it's him and Anthony Richardson at the top.
I think you've talked about him more than you've talked about Anthony Richardson.
Makes sense. Power rankings of my guys. Number one, Jordan Love. Number two, Anthony Richardson. Number three, C.J. Stroud.
Okay. I like
it. And then I'll come out with another list eventually when we have time in an episode. But Packers, minus one on the road.
Yep.
Wait, Devontae Adams revenge game?
I don't have him getting in the end zone.
No. All right. Will, talk about the earthquake.
Gotta love the Packers here, regardless of who's starting at quarterback for the Raiders. Packers have been really good. Raiders have been kind of mid, and let's say Jimmy G doesn't play, they're going to get blown out.
It's as simple as that. It's a true natural disaster. That's how much of an earthquake this will be. There's no doubt about this game, in my opinion. The Packers are a good football team, and I'm excited to see what they can do on the ground this week and how that will mesh with maybe getting Jordan Love on more of those play-action deep shots. I want to see them really stretch out this offense and see how versatile this quarterback can be, because like you said, Stav, I'm kind of growing to be a fan of him too, and if he can use that athleticism in the way that we've seen some of these great quarterbacks do it, then he can be very fun to watch for the next few years.
All right. Now for everybody's favorite segment of the week. We have lock of the – this is a big week for many. The current standings as of right now, me, Stav, I'm in first place at 4-0. Will, you won last week, putting yourself in second at 2-1-1. And Griff, you're in last place right now at 1-2-1. Usually we go in order of the standings. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear your speech. You previewed it last episode. You got the stage right now. It's all you. Lead us off our lock of the week.
To the fans and everybody inside the Five Nation, I'm sorry. I'm extremely sorry. We were hoping for an undefeated season. That was my goal, something Griffin has never done here. I promise you one thing. A lot of good will come out of this. You will never see any player think about the spreads of a game more than a player ever has in the history of this program. You will never see someone push themselves harder than I will push myself the rest of the season. You will never see a team play harder than my personal team will play the rest of the season. God bless. I'm going Packers minus one today. I'm going back to my roots. The first ever lock of the week we did, I had the Green Bay Packers. This is a statement week for me. Monday Night Football, under the lights, prime time, Packers minus one lock of the week.
All right. Now shout out Tim. Yeah, that was a good one. I appreciate you bringing out the speeches. I'll take the stage now. I'm keeping it short and sweet. I have the Ravens minus four. We talked about this game. I don't really need to go in depth. I just think that this Ravens team is trending upwards and the Steelers are trending downwards. Usually these games are close. Usually the Steelers prevail. I'm not looking at the past. I'm looking at today. I have the Baltimore Ravens.
I'm going with the Colts plus two. I'm also pretty sure I'm 2-2, not 2-1-1, but I'm going with the Colts plus two. The Colts have the third highest red zone, I believe, efficiency or scoring rate in the NFL, and the Titans are almost dead last in that category. I love the Colts this week. I love the Colts money line. Go Colts.
Love it.
So you're two and oh. Yeah, I got that mixed up.
Yes. I'm the only one with a push here. And at the bottom of the standings, so gonna need a big week. Regardless, it's gonna be a big week. A whole lot of college football. We broke it down. We have a wonderful, beautiful slate of NFL football to get us through the weekend. Yesterday marked the first day out of 49 consecutive days that football will be played. Guys, we made it through September. You know the Green Day song. We're here. It's October. If you don't know the Green Day song, you're a loser. Will had an absolute blank expression. Doesn't know the Green Day song. We hope you guys enjoyed. I'm going to go drown myself in homework before this Thursday night football game. We will catch you guys to recap all of the action that goes down this weekend. And peace.
Peace.